Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversation. A sure sign of summer and late spring is when we are visited by our good friend from Theater by the Sea, Bill Haney is here. Welcome back, Bill.
Hello, Mike. It's been a whole season off, and we're back to start the new summer.
Here we go again, and it's Theater by the Sea is returning with some great shows this year. And Bill, you've brought a special guest with you.
I did.
Well, I think I'll let you introduce him.
I would be happy to. It's my director of our new show, the world premiere of Love and Other Fables. It is my director and dear friend, Jay Binder.
Bill, thank you for inviting me here to
do this.
Well,
this is exciting. This has never been done in the history of Theater by the Sea, a show that is being created for this theater to someday hit the stage on Broadway. That's what we want to do, and we're going to do everything we can to get there.
Excellent. So this is a very exciting thing that's going on. The story, you and I, Bill, talked about this last year when we knew it was coming, but we didn't have a whole lot of details.
Exactly.
We still don't have a whole lot of
music.
No,
in fact, the music that you've got is the stuff that we lucky enough, we recorded one of our readings in New York. We've done by just three instruments, and when you see the Theater by the Sea, beginning Wednesday, it's going to have our full orchestra, as we always do.
Right,
and we've been so fortunate. Our orchestrator is a young man named Josh Clayton, who is fast becoming an incredibly sought-after orchestrator. He's doing the Broadway revival of Titanic next season, and I've been lucky to be involved with Encores at City Center for 27 years. Which is where we do three musicals a year of shows that deserve a second look, of which Chicago moved from Encores and Finian's Rainbow. And Josh has been the orchestrator. When you get an older show, so many of the orchestrations from the 20s or 30s are not there.
Right.
And Josh has the understanding of this kind of music and this kind of score. That is the most exciting thing for me, is that it's the kind of music that you walk out of the theater humming.
And puts you in a good mood.
Yes.
Right about that.
A musical.
Absolutely. A musical where you come out humming the tunes that you've never heard before.
That's catchy.
Like you used to.
Right, like the good old days, as they say. This is very interesting to me, Bill, for you to bring Jay with you, because I know Jay has an extensive reputation, if you will, of success in New York.
Oh, yeah. Jay's been a casting director, one of the big casting directors in New York for, I don't know how many years, Jay.
Well, since the early 80s, and then, to make a very long story short, I got very lucky in that in 1988, I got a phone call from Emanuel Eisenberg, one of the most prestigious producers in the history of
big shows,
commercial theater, saying, how would I like to cast the new Neil Simon play called Rumors? And I fortunately had worked in every regional theater around the country since I opened the office, which was like going to grad school. In fact, the Huntington in Boston was one of my major clients. Anyway, Manny said, you know, call Neil and Gene Sachs, and if they want to use you, you know, do it. So I got on the phone with Neil. I had read the play, and I just started to go to work. We then had a relationship and a friendship from that moment on until the end of his life last August, which was very sad.
Did you cast all the shows?
Close. Yes, all the shows from Proposals through the revival, of Brighton Beach and Broadway Band, which was absolutely superb. But unfortunately, we were not a success, although it was absolutely superb. So it was all those years learning and working with a master. And in the same week, I got a phone call from Manny. Jerome Robbins was putting together his retrospective called Jerome Robbins Broadway. And Jerry had interviewed every major casting director. In those days, it was Johnson Lift. They were, you know, the biggest. But he had interviewed everybody. And he said, well, why don't you go down and meet Jerry? And I'll end the story quickly. And Jerry Robbins was, you know, certainly had a reputation of being, you know, very temperamental and very, but a genius. And so Jerry said to me, he said, well, if you were casting a production of Peter Pan for me, how would you cast Tiger Lily? And I said, well, as a child, because the Indians and the Lost Boys and everybody excepting Captain Hook and the pirates are children. And he said, you have the job.
That's interesting.
Well, there you go.
But he's also done, you worked in a couple of movies also.
Yes, I worked on...
Well, I'm still trying to get my hands around the fact that someone said to you, just call Neil Simon and get things straightened out.
Well, you know, right. I mean, you know, I had fortunately, you know, when I was directing, when I first came to New York in the 70s, and dinner theater was still incredibly popular all around the country, and the staple of those seasons were, of course, all of Neil's plays. So I had directed all of Neil's plays to date, and knew them, and as it turned out, I knew them many times better than he did. When I would quote lines, he would say, now, what is that from? So, you know, and also, you know, while we were certainly of different generations, we came from very similar cultural backgrounds. I have an innate understanding of the humor of human nature and the way he writes and, you know, where he comes from. And fortunately with Jerry Robbins, everything that Jerry had directed and choreographed, I had seen in one way or another, the film of Pajama Game, which he co-choreographed, you know, is basically the stage. But I had seen all of Jerry's work and was very involved in learning, and I had directed and been in several productions of Fiddler on the Roof. So I knew Jerry's work very well.
Yeah.
You know, and was, of course, who wouldn't be a gigantic admirer of great genius.
Absolutely. Now, Love and Other Fables is, for our audience, just to remind you, has not been performed anywhere before, right?
Just in readings.
Well, in readings, yeah. But I'm saying it's not...
No, Jay, you know the history.
Well, it's been... Every show, every new musical goes through its own individual development process. Mm-hmm. We originally did it as a workshop. We had a producer, Randall Reggett, who unfortunately passed away. And then the show idled for a while. And then a couple years ago, Donna Trinkoff, who's the wonderful artistic director of the Amas Repertory Theater, who was part of that original workshop, called me and said, you know, I love this show. I think, you know, we would like to sponsor a reading. And I said, absolutely. And so we did another reading, and she was right. Mm. It was wonderful to return to it. And we then got very excited, and then Jay Jeffries and John McMahon, Jay is the lyricist, co-book writer. John McMahon is the composer, co-book writer. We were thrilled to go back to work with it, because once I signed on, and that was very funny, because it was dress rehearsal of No, 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 Net at Encores. which I've been doing for 27 years at City Center, John was having a glass of wine at a restaurant right before dress rehearsal, and so was I, and he turned to me and said, you know, I've got this musical. Would you read it? And I said, I would love to. And he sent it to me, and I called him the next morning. I listened to two songs, which you'll have to come in to see the show to hear, which you won't be hearing today, because we're saving that.
Right.
But I listened to the whole score, but two songs just put me over. I called him the next morning. I said, I want to do this. I then sat down with the authors, and I said, we're going to do what I call the George Kaufman, George Abbott method. We're stripping the show completely to its bone and then rebuilding the show. And so we spent a process of months sort of rebuilding the show, rewriting it, making it better, continuously making it better. We did the original workshop. Mm-hmm. And then when Donna brought it back up again, we went back to work again. So we continued the process, because the process about any new show, no matter how many times you've read it, no matter how many times you've workshopped it, until you present it in front of a live audience that pays for their tickets, that's the goal.
That's why it's here, because it needed to have that.
I think what we should explain to the audience too, when you hear some of the music you're going to hear tonight on this show, it's not the real thing. You're going to hear the music when you get to Theater by the Sea with a full orchestra,
So
forth. And I just want to get to a piece before we run out of time in this segment. This is called I've Got Fables is the first piece. And just give us a little bit of explanation of that so we can get a feel for it. And we'll listen to as much as possible in this segment before we have to go to commercial break.
This is the first song in the show, the opening number, of which we discover Aesop. And his slave seller is going to sell him. He, of course, is unsellable because he's too bright. The slave seller leaves, and Aesop begins to tell us who he is. And then as the plot unfolds, the number builds and builds to the end. To him being sold because he falls in love with this young slave called Lysina. He takes one look at her and falls in love and allows himself to be sold.
All right. We're going to listen to a portion of this because it's a little bit lengthy, and then we'll take a commercial break and be back with more of Bill Haney's Theater by the Sea.
And no more of your stories.
Fables.
Whatever they're called!
I just use Mother Nature to explain human nature. Some people come from well-connected families, and others have good looks or wealth or fame. A few find glory in their field, while power is what others wield. But I have only one thing to my name. Yes, I have only one thing to my name. I've got fables, clever fables. They're the only things I've got that get me by. I may not own my sandals or my tunic, but you won't hear me grumble or complain. It could be worse, at least I'm not a eunuch. I've something much more valuable, my brain. I spin stories, allegories, from my bottomless compendium of lore. A trick of fate let men enslave me, but my gift of gab will save me from whatever fate the future holds in store. From whatever fate the future holds in store.
The set turns to the exterior of Hieronymus's slave tent. Samians go about their shopping. A sign on the tent reads, "Spring clearance. Catastrophe enters."
Xanthus!
Yes, dear. Ooh, look, Catastrophe has sailed.
What luck! We must buy a husband for our slave by sundown. The goddess Aphrodite has already exacted divine retribution by making you fall down the well.
I fell down the well?
And remember, I do all the talking. You don't.
Whatever you say, dear.
Slave seller!
Who, me? Oh, yeah.
Can I help you?
We're looking for a husband for our female slave, Aphrodite.
The goddess of love.
Has aroused in our unmarried slave a longing for soul-deep devotion, the sharp stab of ecstasy, and the fog of completion.
Of flesh on flesh.
Well, I wish you'd been here 5 minutes ago. I just sold my last slave, but look, there are more slaves down the street.
Yes, look, and they include shipping and handling. Xantus, hurry!
Yes, dear. Excuse me.
Hello?
I'm looking for a husband for my female slave.
I know.
You do?
You were just here.
I was?
Where's your wife?
Who?
If he tries one more gimmick, he's going to drive me completely out of business. Why, that Professor Xanthus. How can I help you?
I don't know. Who are you?
He's looking for a husband for his female slave.
Remarkable. That's just what I need to buy.
Why not buy Aesop?
Ooh, how much is he?
Only 75 drachmas.
Wait, stop!
Wait, stop!
I'm not
Aesop. I'm Hieronymus, the slave seller. This is Aesop. He's the slave. I'm the slave?
Yes, you're the slave.
Remarkable, that's just what I need to buy.
No, now we're getting somewhere.
Is he on special?
I know, he doesn't look special.
I got it.
Oh, no, please don't.
The leopard and the fox.
Oh, I give up.
A leopard thinks she's special because of the intricate pattern on her skin, but a fox knows he's special because it's his mind that has the intricate pattern.
What was that?
It's a fable.
What's a fable?
It's a little tale that tells you what to do. Our destiny's not always of our choosing. Forever at the mercy of the gods. So I tell folks who find their lives confusing, try hard enough, you'll always beat the odds. I've a way of making hay of every hypocrite and fool who gets my goal. And I have every expectation that I'll rise above my station.
And your life's the biggest fable of them all.
Yes, my life's the biggest fable of them all. I populate my tales with foolish animals. A fox, a frog, a finch, an ass, a flea. I let my stories take their aim, in hopes I'll hear someone exclaim, I recognize that stupid ass, it's me!
I recognize that stupid ass, it's me! Ingenious! A fog, a finch, a flea!
No, wait. There's the miller and the mare and the hunter and the bear and the goose that laid the eggs of solid gold.
Solid gold?
There's the heron and the clam and the lion and the lamb and the raven who was such an awful scold.
I know the type.
There's the marten and the monkey and the elephant and donkey and the kestrel who was nesting in the hickory.
Naughty bird!
There's the leopard and the oxen and the hound that let the fox in and the magpie who was punished for his trickery.
It's only fair!
There's the viper and the cow and the eagle and the sow and the cuckoo who kept mocking all the apes. There's the swallow and the wren and the rooster and the hen and the other fox that couldn't reach the grapes. There's the nightingale and beaver and the weasel and the weaver and the one about the ravaging rhinoceros. There's the bramble and the briar and the wolves in sheep's attire. Yes, my repertoire of fables is colossus.
My boy, you're getting married.
No, I don't want to get married.
My unmarried slave, she needs the fog of completion.
I don't want to get married.
Master?
Lysina.
I want to get married.
Xanthus.
Catastrophe.
What are you doing back here?
Mistress.
Lysina, what are you doing here?
I couldn't wait another minute. My husband.
Your husband.
Heroic.
Clever.
Handsome.
Sensitive.
No, not handsome. Gorgeous. And he'd better have a lot of stamina.
Why?
He's gonna need it.
He certainly is. Now, Lysina, run along home and prepare yourself.
Ah, Madam Catastrophe! How can I help you?
Who are you?
He's the slave seller. He's the slave.
I see. Do you have anything with a lot of stamina? Oh,
Philoculus! Philoculus of Lydia! He's a musician.
I play the lyre.
I'm sure you do. That's exactly what she wants. No. By him.
But will he satisfy Aphrodite?
He would satisfy anyone.
But dear...
I'm leaving for Delphi.
But dear...
I'm off on an undertaking of cultural affairs, and by the time I return, Lysina had better be married.
Oh, my. Now I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
I've got fables. Helpful fables. I can help you make your problems disappear. Now, don't think I'm rushing you to make your mind up, but you seem a bit confused from where I sit. But make the right decision and you'll wind up the beneficiary of my wit. If my master courts disaster, then it's Aesop to the rescue I'm on call. So if the gods heap admiration on my rich imagination, then my life's the greatest fable of them all.
Yes, his life's the greatest fable of them all.
Slave girls burst from the tent with abandon and dance. The dance break. Perks or paid vacations.
In fact, what's even worse, he don't get paid.
But if his tales can change the course of nations, when all is said and done, he's got it made.
Though not wealthy, I've a healthy way of coping when my back is to the wall.
And so the message that he's sending always has a moral ending.
With a lazy hair, a pesky gnat,
a stubborn mare,
a crafty cat,
a seeming snake, a thieving rat.
The point I make is simply that
the point he makes is simply that if the talents I've been given make a better world to live in,
my life's the greatest fable of them all.
Yes, his life's the greatest fable of them all. So!
Theater by the Sea, their new season is starting in just a few days, and we are very, very fortunate to be having the world premiere of Love and Other Fables. After that, it's going to be Singing in the Rain, then Newsies, and Saturday Night Fever, and a lot of other goodies mixed in, which Bill will talk about momentarily, but I want to tell people that they can call the box office, because we're now open for business, right?
Absolutely.
At 401-782-8587. So call the box office, talk to Vinny, get your seats. They're going quickly. And there's also a great website where you can go and see what tickets are available at theaterbythesea.com. Very simple to remember. And Bill, just a couple words about, since I didn't see you for last month's show, I just want to touch base on last year was unbelievable.
Is the best year ever. I don't know how you top that year.
Right.
5 weeks of Mamma Mia.
5 weeks of record-breaking sales.
Yep. You couldn't get a ticket to that show the last 3 weeks if you tried, because the seat did not exist.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. And I'll give you a little scoop here.
Okay.
I'm bringing it back next year. In 2020, we're going to bring the production, remount the production.
Wow.
It'll be for 2 weeks ahead of the season beginner.
Uh-huh.
Which is going to be very interesting. We've never done this before.
You're talking about May now.
May. We're talking about earlier May, when the people really aren't here. But that show was so successful that I figured after 5 weeks of virtually sellout performances, we'll find 2 weeks worth of audience to come back and see it again.
I would think so. I'll be there.
Absolutely.
It was great.
Me too. I love that show.
Yeah, I love one of my faves.
Now, the interesting thing about tonight's program, we're talking about Love and Other Fables. It's a world premiere event. There is no cast recordings as such, because it hasn't been
Not
done
yet.
Before.
Not yet.
But so if you want to be in on the ground level and be one of those people that can say, I was there.
Absolutely.
I was there when it started. This is your opportunity. Theater by the Sea. And it starts in just a few days with previews and then opening night next Friday night. And so let's get back to the storyline. We just listened to a little bit of I've Got Fables is the name of the song. We're now going to go to another piece of music in a moment, but tell us a little bit more about the storyline.
Well, the thing that attracted me to this show was this is an old-fashioned one, not an old-fashioned musical, but it is an old-fashioned romantic screwball comedy romance. Mm-hmm. And I think that in the times we live in, what we are undergoing every day of our lives, we need to get back to real romance and real screwball comedy and shows that give you a heartwarming feeling and make you laugh.
Absolutely.
And make you just have a good time. And the thing that, for me, is appealing about the show is that I hope it's witty. It's even though it takes place in ancient Greece, because of the genius, I think, of John McMahon and all of us have created a language that's not anachronistic, but it sounds contemporary, but it also sounds like it's ancient Greece. It's really quite wonderful. The kind of writing it is, because it doesn't sound old-fashioned. It's not educational. It's not serious. It's not. It's about how Aesop became Aesop, and how he uses his fables for everyone else's good. And also, he's got one problem. He doesn't know how to handle women. He's all thumbs. He's smarter than anybody else, but when it comes to women, he's got a lot to learn. and throughout the show, and of course, like all classic screwball comedy romances, of course, the moment that the girl looks at the boy, of course, the girl doesn't want the boy, and the
right.
You know, and
the that's boy, gotta be the chase,
right, and the boy loves the girl, and then of course we all know they're going to end up together at the end, but the great fun of it is how is it going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the root of every classic screwball comedy romance.
Mm-hmm.
And for
the great cast of characters.
Yes, we have all the classic characters. There's Aesop, who's wily and smart and clever, but also shy and wanting to fall in love. There's Lysina, the slave, who dreams of a handsome, heroic Greek god, which she doesn't see that Aesop is really the right person for her, and the handsome Greek god
is Bill.
Of course, well, exactly. Well, actually, we wanted to cast Bill, but he turned us down.
Oh,
they didn't pay enough.
Yeah, all right.
Exactly. Well, but the one thing is, the housing here is quite good, so he would have liked the housing.
Yeah, exactly. I would have loved the housing.
Exactly. And so there's the Greek. There's the slave Philocles, who Aesop gets rid of when Lysina meets Philocles, because of course. And he goes to King Croesus from the poor farming island of Samos to Lydia, which is sort of like New York, to King Croesus, the wealthiest man in the world. And Philocles gets tangled up with the very, very clever, very seductive, and very powerful Delphinia, who is a temptress. And she actually has a great deal of power and control. She has one weakness, and I'm not going to tell you what the weakness is because I want you all to come and see it. But the next song you're going to hear, okay, see if you can guess what her weakness is.
There you go.
And for people that are, done now with Game of Thrones is over, this is the next thing to see. There you go.
I hope
Absolutely.
So. Absolutely. There you go. All right. All right, let's listen to this next piece, and then we'll take another short break and be back with more.
Ha ha ha! guys end up marrying Mother. They want to see ladies in breakaway dresses who won't disembowel their brother. Now I'm not knocking a deus ex machina. If you want a catharsis, and while stigomythia might be much pithier, what's wrong with frivolous farces? Though I'm not the type who would ever condemn lines poetic, portentous, or grave. It's time we decided to hike up those hemlines and give those Greeks what they crave. Who cares about Medea and Anna Bonapia? Those guys would rather see a pair of
beautiful eggs.
I know that Lysistrata would get those fellas hotter. It's time she shows she's got a pair of If a Janiya brazenly bare her thighs,
she caused a kind of fire that makes smoke come out of your eyes.
So fill your old Greek dramas with lots of red hot mamas. Bring on the rose and rose and rose of beautiful legs.
While perched on seats of onyx through Phaedra's histrionics,
each loyal state Gorgon expects her legs. Those tragic masterpieces sparked countless master theses.
But what sparks half of Greece is
seeing beautiful legs. Helen sure was a looker, her tootsies hiding hole.
Now all the agents bought her, cause she took her act on the road.
When Greece is left in ruins,
these gals will all be shoo-ins.
Revealing rows and rows and rows of beautiful legs.
Other Fables is the name of the world premiere musical that's coming to Theater by the Sea. Go to theaterbythesea.com. Get all the information. Follow along with us. You can also order tickets there. And if you'd like, you can call the box office at 401-782-8587. And as usual, Bill Haney is here, and we've been having a great time finding out about this new endeavor. Bill, how did you get? How did you get started with this?
Well, because I've known Jay for so long, because he's done the casting at the other theater, North Shore. He was always talking about the show, and finally he wanted to do a reading. Mm-hmm. He asked me if I could put a couple dollars to help do the reading.
A couple dollars?
Yeah, he does a great job keeping budgets. I can tell you that much. But I said, does that get me a ticket to see the reading? and I went and saw it, and I you remember, Jay, I walked out, I go, you got me, what are we doing with this, and where are we going to do it? It was cool. That good. And I don't get captured that quick, by the way.
Well, you've had a little experience.
Yeah, I didn't expect it.
Thank you.
And I really mean that. And then, basically, it goes from reading to the stage Wednesday, and all the stuff in between that, you know, somebody else spent a lot of time in talking about the process of creating a new show. But right. I want Jay to talk about the cast, because the casting is where it's all at in this kind of a show.
All right.
I'm very blessed. Brian Sears, who's playing the lead, who's also played the lead on Broadway in Book of Mormon and other shows, he's just a gift. I've known him for many years. He understudied one of the leads in the revival of Finian's Rainbow. I'd met him before, and I knew that he had the right combination of innocence and wiliness and lovability that was so important. And he's also a dear friend, a dear professional friend. For his leading lady, Landry Fleming, we had done a reading of this in Chicago. And Chicago, of course, as you know, has a fantastic acting pool. And Landry played Lysina in Chicago, and John McMahon and I fell in love with her. And so we asked Landry to come from Chicago. And Peter Sade, who's playing the very powerful Greek god, Peter is so interesting. He's an actor I've known for a long time. He saw the reading in Chicago and was determined to play this part. He just finished doing an off-Broadway show called Desperate Measures, which he was wonderful. We also are incredibly lucky to have somebody that has two actors that North Shore audiences have fallen in love with. Blake Hammond is playing King Croesus. It's a wonderful part. And Blake, we go way back. Blake was one of the quartet in the revival of Music Man. He's since then become a major Broadway player. He played Edna Turnblatt for Bill with great success at North Shore. And he's somebody that just makes me smile, makes me laugh.
And Jay, I have to interrupt you. You may not realize it. That's probably one of the toughest roles in any musical.
Oh, yes.
Being in the barbershop quartet in Music Man is the epitome of greatness.
He's done it a few times. That's why he's there.
Yes, it is. And having cast it once on Broadway and then once for Bill, I kept saying, don't underestimate the difficulty of getting the right quartet.
He did say that. Right. He actually did. Yeah. And Blake also played Edna on Broadway, correct, Jay?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we're all also Aphrodite, the goddess of love, of course, is not on stage, but she rules a great deal of what happens to the action. Well, John and I have always said, Aphrodite looks down upon us. We unfortunately lost an actress to a family emergency, and Kevin P. Hill, the artistic director, and Matthew Chappell, the casting director, Kevin called me, and it was such short notice. It was literally 3 days before I was coming up here. And Kevin called me and said, there is an actress named Amy Darity, who is a local Boston actress. And I went online, I looked at her resume. She's the winner of several Elliot Norton Awards. And I looked online, and she is a godsend. She is gorgeous. She sings.
Perfect.
She's just one of the most wonderful women to work with. Also, the entire company, it's so impressive. There are six non-equity ensemble members in this show, because this is sort of a jewel of a show. It's not a it's not a huge show, but it's not a small show. It's got 15 people in it. But
that's good size.
But these young dancers who are still non-union, this is not only do they have to dance a lot, but they are the singing ensemble as well. These kids sing like you wouldn't believe as well as they. It's just, and for me, as a director and as a casting director, to see another generation be as good and talented and as professional is unbelievable, which brings me to our choreographer, Parker Essie. Parker, I've known, I know, listeners, it seems like I've known everybody for a long time, but when you've been around, Parker had been assisting another choreographer who I had worked with, and then subsequently has carved out a wonderful career on his own, winning awards in Washington, D.C. Has choreographed a remarkable production of Oklahoma and other shows, and I had known Parker, and to find somebody who understood the style of this show, Parker, working with him is a joy. He's a true collaborator on every level, and it's a marriage. We've always wanted to work together, and so that came true, and that's just, you know, magical. And also, when Bill said we're doing a Theater by the Sea in 11 days, and after I took a big, deep gulp, a new musical in 11 days, well, as I've been saying to my friends, he had seven, I have 11. So, you know, Kyle Dixon, who is our set designer.
All the sets you've seen in my theater the last couple of years, Kyle's done.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, this is somebody to watch. This is a young designer, as well as Jose Santiago, the lighting designer. These are people to really watch. The one thing, and this is not because I'm sitting next to Bill, the staff here, I have a stage manager who, when I walked in, I thought, oh my God, this kid could be my son. And I'm sure he could. But he's so bright. He's so sharp. This is his first season here. His assistant has been here before. Everybody at Theater by the Sea is supportive, and this is not because Bill is sitting me. He's actually elbowing me. No.
Oh, that we do.
And
I'm glad to hear it.
I think that our audience is aware. I think really a large proportion of our audience that's been to Theater by the Sea is just so used to such high level productions.
So
no one gets disappointed.
Right. Well, that's the joy of it. And that's why, you know, when Bill, you know, because I knew Bill had been sort of nosing around about doing something new. Mm-hmm. And when Bill said that he wanted to do this, I feel that doing it in this atmosphere, because in my generation, summer stock like this existed on this level all throughout the country, and
sure,
major stars toured, you know, in summer stock. It's almost a dead form of theater, and Theater by the Sea is one of the places that keeps this incredible theatrical tradition alive.
Right.
Since without it, you can't develop new artists, and now that we're developing new work, so what could be better than that?
Just throw these six non-equity kids with these major, major professional actors and actresses.
And they're right up to that level.
They're going to get that learning.
Absolutely.
Right up to, you know.
And on top of that, there's an intern company. Our show is small, so the intern company will be in on stage in other shows, but they're understudying, and these interns who are understudying the dancers, because some of the dancers understudy principals, I just watch them and I go, I mean, I couldn't write my name at that age.
Well, it's great you're so excited about this.
Well, and harmony is what makes theater work. And there's a song in the show called Sweet Harmony. which Aesop persuades King Croesus not to kill him by telling him a fable, and it's a terrific number. And without Sweet Harmony, Aesop would be killed, and without Sweet Harmony, we wouldn't be able to get the show on at Theater by the Sea.
Well, before we get to Sweet Harmony, Bill, I know you've got a couple other interesting things coming up. I just want to touch base. Before we went on air, you told me about a new venture for yourself on Cape Cod.
Yeah, Cape Cod. I've decided I want to bring my shows to other venues, and I've identified one on Cape Cod. It's the Barnstable Performing Arts Center, right downtown Hyannis. Great 1,400-seat full-stage theater.
1,400 seats. Wow.
And opening, tested out this year with 5 one-nighters beginning Saturday, July 13th, 5 consecutive. We've got Sandy Hackett's Rat Pack.
Excellent.
Harvey Roberts' Doo-Wops. We've got Dance with the Movies with Leslie and Warren, which is people, American Idol people and Dance with the Stars people. Mm-hmm. We've got the Celebrity Housewives of Atlanta, New York, and New Jersey. People watch those people on TV all the time. And we're opening with another show you're familiar with, The Night of the Broadway Stars, that we did here last year.
Right,
with major people from major Broadway shows that are just so talented. And that's my 5-show lineup, and I'm excited and hope it does well, because I mainly identify the market so I could bring my musicals there, which will be in 2020.
Okay, excellent. And another little venture, which is a little bit different, with Downton Abbey,
yes, right? Yes, a friend of mine who was working with a company that's putting it on in Boston, and we were able to get a discount for all my Theater by the Sea people, so they've got an email that they get, I think, $5 off a ticket. That is such a popular show, it's scary. Yeah. How many people want to go
Absolutely.
See this exhibition?
So check those things all out online at theaterbythesea.com, and check out the fact that you can order your tickets right there for these shows, Love and Other Fables, and then coming up, we have the others, Singing in the Rain, Newsies, and Saturday Night Fever, along with some Monday night.
The concert season is back.
Three
of those I just mentioned are coming back. We've also got Christine Petty from Sirius Broadway. She does a show of her own. If you ever listen to Sirius Broadway, I'm sure you know her.
Very well.
Yeah, she does great impressionists. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not going to miss that one for sure.
We need another hour to talk about all this
always.
Stuff. But
isn't that true?
We always do.
Yep.
Well, I do want to thank Jay for coming in and telling us about this.
Mike.
It's been great to meet you, and an honor to meet someone that's been as involved as you have been. So it's great to have you here. Bill, thanks again.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll see you both in a few days at Theater by the Sea.
A lion once caught a mouse for dinner, and when the mouse begged the lion that if he were spared, he would repay his kindness one day, the lion laughed and let him go. Later that night, the lion was caught by hunters and tied to a tree. The mouse heard his groans and came to his rescue. He gnawed through the ropes and set the lion free. And he said to the lion, "You once laughed at me and struck a haughty attitude when I suggested we could make amends. You see now, even mice can show their gratitude. But say that in the future we be friends. There's no mistaking, we should be making such sweet harmony. From here on after, there's only laughter, so much bonhomie. Hands were meant to shake each day, smiles were meant to flash. What a joy to wake each day when you feel that real compassion. If we don't bicker, the quicker we'll be. Arm in arm in such sweet harmony. Good times get going when we start crowing. Such sweet harmony. How well we're faring by simply sharing through camaraderie. Something unexplainable happened in my heart. I feel unrestrainable. There's a friendship I'm a part of. We're salt and pepper, inseparably. Arm in arm in such sweet harmony. In harmony, sweet harmony. Start by being positive, tell your neighbor we can live.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.